Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Grandma's Haunted House, a conversation with Chris Nielsen. It's that time of night, the time every child knows, bedtime, time of day the lights go out and one is expected to lay down and fall asleep. It's a time of peace, relaxation, until through the corner of the doorway, down a dimly lit hall, one sees a little boy who shouldn't be there, standing, staring at you. You quickly pull the covers over your head, only to peek out and discover that the little boy has not disappeared. He's still there, staring intently. This moment will begin a paranormal journey that would take Chris Nielsen to places he never imagined. This is his story.
Yeah, so the interest in paranormal, honestly, it feels like it almost teeters on stereotype for me. So growing up, my grandparents played a huge part in raising me. And it actually all kind of started at my grandparents' house. So this would be my dad's parents. To this day, and I've been doing like investigating formally for 12, 13 years now. Been Arizona to Pennsylvania. Someday I'll get like that coast to coast because it just sounds better thing going. but to this day, it's one of the most haunted places I've ever been. And I, you know, looking back, I don't know if it's because, you know, we just spent so much time there, or, you know, we were the residents. We had a bit more of an intimate relationship with the spirits. But to this day, just one of the most haunted places I had ever been. It was the parsonage for the church that was next door. It was a funeral home for a while. The basement served as kind of like a temporary morgue because of that. There was local, I don't know if you call it local legend, but we had heard from people who had been in the town for quite a while. There was actually a stopping point on the Underground Railroad. And it was kind of cool looking into that. You know, as an adult, there is actually this kind of concealed room that you can only reach through a trap door that's now sealed off in the living room. So just all sorts of kind of, you know, cool, interesting history to it.
And this is your grandparents' house.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Continue on.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess it all... And for me, it almost kind of fell back to like a singular event. Like we always knew the house was kind of funky. They had a couple dogs that always kind of avoided like the entrance point to the house. My grandma loved wind chimes, and she would have them kind of up on the like top tier shelves of the cabinet. So the only really time they made a sound was when you open and close those cabinets, just because they're flush against the door. And it would sound like people just kind of walking by, chiming those wind chimes. My grandma has a... honestly, one of my favorite stories. She had this beautiful, I think it was actually antique, navy blue carpet. And one day she's vacuuming and she turns around, puts a vacuum away, and there's these little dirt footprints like on the carpet. So she turns around, she gets the vacuum back out, she re-vacuums the floor, turns around, puts the vacuum away. Again, there's another set of footprints there. And I just remember her telling me, she was like, you know, I was just like, damn it, quit messing up my carpet. And it just kind of stopped from there. And that's, I kind of think, where my idea of like the spirit, like we could actually interact with spirits, where that little seed kind of got planted in. And for me, my first big experience was in that house. And that's what kind of, you know, started this whole process. So my dad worked in law enforcement as I was growing up. He was a corrections officer for Buchanan County in Iowa. So naturally, his hours were kind of all over the place. And there was one weekend we were staying with him, and he got thrown on a super early morning shift. Like I think it was, 3:30 or 4 in the morning he had to go in. So he bundled little 8-year-old Chris up and We have to go over to grandma and grandpa's, so they'll take care of me for the day. And he, you know, gets me in the front door, and he was like, you know what? Don't be a little shit. You know, you gotta be quiet so grandma and grandpa don't wake up. So naturally, I'm just trying to be as quiet as possible. I'm totally kidding about that. My dad absolutely loved me. never talked poorly to me like that. But, you know, I knew I had to be quiet because, you know, grandma and grandpa are sleeping. It's super early in the morning. So to kind of give you an idea of how I saw what I saw when I saw it, you go in the front door of their house and you can either go up the stairs, which kind of run parallel to this entrance hallway, or you can turn right, which is immediately where the living room is, which is where I was. And I'm laying on a day bed that they had in there. And I'm curled up. I've got my pillow. I've got my blanket. And I roll over. And from where I was laying, you could see the stairs. And there's this little boy. And he's just kind of like, he's, you know, how like little kids do. They get down on their haunches and he's holding the rungs of the, basically the hold of the banister. And he's just kind of looking at me. And I do like art stuff. So I've actually, you know, I've taken the time to try to remember his face, draw him out. And he was just, like I said, he was staring at me. And, you know, I did the universal 8-year-old self-care technique, which was to, you know, throw the blanket over my head. Because, you know, I was terrified of this kid.
Sure.
And I know, and I've had a lot of my own personal stories like this, and I've heard tons of other people's stories where, you know, when you encounter, you know, especially a solid figure like that, it's very quick, it's very fleeting. You know, you look, and 1 second, they're gone. So, unfortunately, for 8-year-old Chris, that was not the case, because and it was probably only a few minutes, but I felt like I held that blanket over my head, what felt like years. And I pull the blanket down and he's still there and just kind of, you know, checking me out. So threw the blanket over my head and I did not move until my grandparents got up, and that was like 6 or 7 in the morning.
Wow. I mean, after you had that experience and you saw this character, this child there, what, you know, what's going through your mind when you do get up in the morning? I mean, how are you processing all of it initially before you even say anything to anyone?
So I think as an 8-year-old kid, like you just have that, you know, oh man, that was scary. And it's, a lot of people talk about fear being a fight or flight response only. You know, you're either going to run away or you're going to start swinging. But I think people seriously underestimate how much of a paralytic the fear can really be too. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I didn't know what to think of it. I knew that, you know, that part of the house was weird for the dogs. And I, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in kind of that environment where it was one of those things, it was just openly talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, these are the ghosts of the house. So I thought I just had kind of one of those like experiences like a dad and Aunt Jackie and grandma and grandpa kind of talked about. But I didn't, it was one of those things, it took me a really long time to actually fully process what my thoughts on it were. And I don't think it really came around till I started doing the actual paranormal research aspect of it. And, you know, I was a little kid, and that was a little kid. And he was probably just like, oh man, you know, someone to play with. That's so cool. I mean, I wasn't the most gracious at, you know, accepting that. I'm guessing it was some sort of an invitation, or I wasn't the best at being like, heck yeah, little boy, let's play. But, they held the house and the family for quite a long time. So I did actually get to develop a bit of a relationship with him. Found out through like an EVP session, his name was Greg. And there have been occasions where, you know, Greg has actually come to visit me as an adult at like the places I live.
I want to get to that in a moment. I want to ask a little bit more about when you had this experience and you said that your family was already, you know, kind of open to it. You as a child said that you, you know, had kind of overheard them discussing these sort of things and their own experiences, you know, in the background. So when you had this experience, did you bring it up to your grandparents or your parents or anything at the time and say, hey, this happened to me last night?
And part of me wishes I had been a little more direct about it. I don't remember having like in-depth conversations, but I just remember asking like, has anybody ever like seen a little boy here? And nobody had. And I didn't want to, you know, a lot of the stuff they were talking about was a little less, you know, concrete. And that it was, you know, the wind chimes and the dogs. And at one point, someone had seen I was like an attachment for the vacuum, like fly across the room, which is all, you know, kind of, you know, crazy stuff. But I had the fear of like almost coming across as more crazy. And, you know, having that, I even then had that fear of just having that response of, you know, oh, you were just imagining it.
Yeah.
You know, despite the fact it was, you know, it was kind of openly talked about in the house, that, you know, that's some next level stuff right there.
Sure. I mean, it's one of those things. It probably makes it, though, easier, would you say, to kind of digest it, though, the fact that your family wasn't poo-pooing it and wasn't like, well, it's just in your mind, it was a dream or this or that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Actually, you know, heading down the road in my paranormal, I always want to call it career, but career implies some sort of payment. But it's one of those like kind of all encompassing things in my life now.
Yeah.
And moving forward, I actually co-found my first team, back in the day with my dad.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Prior to having that experience, was there anything else? I know you said that was the big one. That was the big experience for you in that house. But prior to that, had you had any run-ins yourself personally, or was it all kind of, you know, family lore and things that people would talk about?
I remember on occasion hearing the wind chimes, and I knew, and it's weird because it was actually that entranceway where I saw him, where the dogs would act weird. So my aunt lived with my grandparents for quite a while when I was younger. And she had two dogs. She had TJ, who was a, you know, big old Rottweiler, and Cammy was a like a little pit mix. And they were both just the sweetest dogs, best disposition. But I would remember them somebody would go out into the kitchen, and they would, as they had to like go through that doorway, kind of slow down. They wouldn't have that full trot. They would kind of like hug the doorway and kind of keep an eye. That area, but nothing quite like that up to that point.
Yeah. So you had this experience, you get a bit older. Tell me about the boy, you know, revisiting you. What do you recall, like the second time he came and made an appearance?
So since then, his appearances have been kind of fleeting. It's almost kind of more when I think about it. I had a good friend of mine who's a, very talented psychic medium. She actually like let me know, like he comes and he visits. And for quite a while, I'm a little bit of a gypsy soul. I actually spent quite a few years of my adult life just traveling full time. I had a camper. I worked campground jobs back and forth. And she's like, he absolutely loves when you ride around the golf cart. And that was actually a big part of my job. I was a manager up at Spook Haven Campground up in McGregor, Iowa. For a few seasons, and that was, you know, part of the job was kind of going around doing, you know, routine, just kind of going through either like dropping off like fire bundles or having to do maintenance stuff. It was one of the things she was like, he really enjoys that. He likes, you know, riding by the waterfall. And now it's become one of those situations where I almost kind of get the vibe when he's around. So I have the tendency to, I'm a bit of an empath, and I'm also I'm recently kind of coming out of the closet as a clairvoyant psychic. So I have the tendency to see things, and I know I'm not schizophrenic because I can shut it on and off. So there are occasions. I actually, just this last weekend, I was at an event. I was doing a presentation, and I don't remember, I wasn't even specifically speaking about Greg, but I was, you know, talking about how everybody seems to be afraid of things these days. And it's not that you're, you know, hearing, you know, tap on the windows at night. It's probably just Greg. And I just like, I pulled that name completely out of left field. And I saw his little head poking, and he's like, what's up?
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. to hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.